It is good to have everybody here this morning. It does my heart good when we can see everybody smiling and laughing and shaking hands and greeting one another and asking how your weeks was. So I think that's a huge part of our worship when we come together. I really do. And it's so wonderful to have new faces in here too. I'm excited about that. That's Scott answering prayers is what that is. So it's so exciting. And Miss Kay, thank you so much for you do wonderful on your playing. Leslie, you do wonderful with the music. Let me bring something to your attention. And I don't know. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. This is what it reminds me of. It reminds me of a shotgun wedding. I've never been a part of one, okay? But there's two men sitting at the very back. I want to explain this. They're not going to tackle you if you try to come out. It's for somebody who might be trying to come in is what the deal is. Both of the doors are locked back there. And basically what they're sitting for, it's for our security. And if the person, if you need to go out, if you have to go to the restroom, whatever the case may be, if you come back, all you have to do is knock twice and one of them will get up and go to the door. This is just strictly a safety measure is what it is. And that door's, sir, hold on. Go ahead, John. Both doors are locked.
Both these side doors.
Yes.
This one, both of these are open.
Okay. Both of those are locked. Both of these are opened. Okay. So if you need to go out, you would exit that way, come right here. You go to the restroom and come right back through. And then the nursery part is locked back there too. So, okay. So that kind of explains what Wade and James, and then you'll see different deacons every week is what you'll do. And it's just a measure to help ensure our safety is all it is. So that's what we're doing. It's a very good deal. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 30 is where we're going to open up. And I'm going to open up with a word of scripture, and then I want to open up with a prayer, and then we'll go. We'll tell you before we get started that a new day is dawning on the church, and everybody's, I hope, is excited. You know what I can tell you? Tanya asked me, she said, are you nervous? She asked me last night, she said, are you nervous? And Tanya's in the nursery with the little ones this morning. She said, are you nervous about tomorrow? I said, yes, I really am. And she said, I think it would be unnatural if you weren't nervous. And I said, I agree. I said, it's a big responsibility. She said, what's the main thing that's going through your head? I said, I'm just hoping somebody shows up. That's really all I'm thinking. I'm just hoping somebody comes back. That's the main thing. Can we just get somebody in the house? That's it. But I'm so glad to see each and every one of you this morning. And I know our Sunday school number was a touch low. If you see somebody in Sunday school or somebody on your list this week, I pray that you'll reach out to them is what you'll do. And there's a lot of people sick right now. And it's a long weekend too. Some people might be traveling. So reach out to them. Let's open up with see what the word of the Lord has to say to us. Jeremiah 30, verse 1 is what we're going to do is stay 1 through 4 right there. And we're going to open up. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. These are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, so much, God, for your word and how powerful it is. That, Lord, that so many years ago, dear God, you had your hand directly on your people, dear Lord. And today, Father God, through your Son Jesus, you have your hand directly on us, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us in this upcoming few minutes as we just look at your word, Father. And you'll help me, Father God, to deliver the message just like you would like for me to. That it'll go word for word, Father God, and that, dear Lord, anybody who in here this morning, Father God, just help us all to focus on you, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and these things we ask in your name. Amen. I covered Wednesday night, I covered Jeremiah 29 just a little bit, but what I want to do is recap and bring you up to where we're at chapter 30. If looking at 29, and I know it's just one page back, and it might not be any pages back, But it says, this was the letter that's starting in Jeremiah at the very first. This was a letter that the prophet Jeremiah had sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests and to the prophets. And he says, this is what God tells them to do. He says, build houses and settle down. He says, you better be seeking peace and prosperity. You can have sons and daughters, plant gardens, marry. You carry on with business. And he says, increase in number there, but do not decrease. And it says, and I think I already said it one time, he said, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. And then he's telling each and every one of them what to do and to carry on, because they're going to be there for 70 years. But we see what God does in 30 when he gives it a restoration of Israel right there. Where I just started out, he says, write these days down. The time is coming. He says, the main thing too, the only thing that happened that kind of got me this week when I was reading my lesson was Israel got distracted is what happened. They took their eyes off of God is what happened. Now, I'm going to tell you something, how I start my morning. Almost every morning, and it's almost routine, I wake up and I pray. That's the first thing I do. But I'm not one of these morning person. I mean, I kind of am, but not to the sense of like I can just start reading scripture and memorizing and taking it all in. I can't do that. I have to have a wake-up process. So what I do is I'll pray and I'll take my shower first thing and I'll get myself ready for the day. And then I'll go and I'll make myself a cup of coffee and then I'll go and I'll sit down in my chair. And I always have my phone with me. And the first thing I do every day, almost religiously, is I check my emails. Because I'm curious to see if Jan might have sent me something through the middle of the night. It could be a prayer request. It could be anything. I'm serious. That crosses my mind. And I say, well, let me double check, because I don't have good Wi-Fi at my house. I don't kind of barely get a signal sometimes, so you got to kind of hit scanning it till you get it. Well, let me say, when it finally scans and it finally hits, it goes 27. 27 emails have came in, just like that. And they're silly emails. They're like telling me what I can buy at Belk's, Larry. I don't need to know that. Or they're telling me I can get a new roof. Or that I can refinance my house. Or that I can go to Harbor Freight and buy a pair of scissors for 69 cents. It gives me all these different things. I mean, this is what I get. And then I get car insurance. I get Geico. I don't even know how I got on their somehow they got my name, my email address. They send me this stuff. I can go through and I can get all these things. And all they are is distractions. I haven't even been up 10 minutes and I've been hit with 27 different things. This is what happened when we look at what happened to Israel. They took their eyes off God is exactly what they did. And you know what I do to each of those 27 things? Yeah, boy, you got it right. There's a trash can. Have y'all seen it? I hope y'all got it on your phone too. I send it to the trash. Boom. Just like that, I keep going through. Now, for those of us too, and you know, I know you might have to go through and read some. Of course, if it's from Benny or somebody or Alvin like that, I won't delete those. I'll read them, take the time. But if it says Belk's, if it says FHA, or if it says Harbor Freight, or if it says Lowe's, or if it says Geico, any of that stuff, man, I'm sending it to the garbage. I'm done with it because I ain't got time for that to start my day. I need to get my head right for Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it's going to start. So as you see what's happened to Israel, they have taken their eyes off of God. They've taken their eyes off the price, and this is what's happening. They've been led out. They're in exile. They're in captivity, but God gives them hope is what he does. It says, we serve a caring God, and Jeremiah told God that he didn't have it all figured out, but God reassured him that I've got you. I've got your back. Let me tell you a story real quick. When I was a young boy, I was 12 years old. The best Christmas gift I ever got, and I've told y'all about it before, was my Yamaha 3-wheeler 200. Best gift ever. I washed that thing almost daily. I even washed up under the fenders. I mean, I took care of this thing. It was like awesome. And I would shine the seat and I would do everything. This was the best gift ever when I was 12. And we had 6 acres, so you know what I did. I didn't have a cell phone back then. And so all I did was I rode that 3-wheeler. Daddy would keep gas in there for me. I'd pour some in. I'd hit that road. Man, I thought I was the coolest thing around. But it was just me. You know what I mean? We kind of lived in the country. There wasn't a lot of people around me. So, man, I burned this thing up is what I did. And I got so comfortable with it and so good with it that I used to have people come over and ride, and their dads would help them or whatever the case may be and bring them. So I had a friend bring a YZ80 motorcycle over. Little Yamaha. It was yellow too, and I sure did like it. And so me and the old buddy, and I said, he said, "Hey, I really like your three-wheeler." And I was like, "Yeah, no, I really like your motorcycle." He was like, "Have you ever driven one?" I was like, "No, but that's not going to stop me from trying." I'm excited. Mama came out and said, "You know, I don't think that's a good idea." But at 12 years old, I knew it all. I had it figured out. I said, I did. He said, "Oh, here, it's got a clutch on it. It's got a clutch." I was like, "Okay, a clutch. What do you do with this?" He said, "Well, you ease out on it when you want to go." And I was like, "But he said, when you're riding, all you got to do is pop it. Just pull it in, pop it. And you'll get so good, you can do it with your foot at the same time." John knows what I'm talking about. He got a Honda Rebel. You could pop it, pop. I mean, get geared, man, you get fast. I said, this is me. Mama said in the background, "I don't think this is a good idea." She was ringing through. I said, "Mama, I promise, I know what I'm doing. He's done showed me how to do it." She says, "Where are you going to ride?" I said, "I'm going to ride right out there in the straightaway is what I'm going to do, back and forth. So there's nothing around me. There ain't no way I can get hurt." "You sure about this, Michael J?" "I'm sure. If your daddy's not here, you know." I said, "I know." I said, "Well, if it's okay with you." And she said, "Okay. You go ahead. You saying you know how to do it?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. I got it figured out. He's done been through it. I had safety training on it. I got this nailed down." I get on that YZ80 and I go back and forth for about 15 minutes. And man, I'm thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. No helmet back then, please. We didn't have them. We didn't have no helmets. We might have had one, but it was in the shop put up. I was riding that thing, and this is exactly what God was doing with Israel, is what he was doing. He was telling them, Israel was telling God that, "I know what's best for you." And Israel was telling him, "We got this figured out. We don't need you right now." I'm going to point that out to you in Scripture in just a minute. Going back to my story, what happened was I rode that motorcycle for about 10 minutes, and I felt so comfortable on it and so blessed. I said, "I have got this figured out." So what I started doing was broaden my horizons. Meantime, my buddy's riding the three-wheeler back and forth, and he's having the time of his life. And so I come up to this little hill, and I was like, "Okay, here we go." So I'm like in fourth gear, and I come around the corner, and I hit a hill, and the motorcycle won't go up it. I'm going too slow, and I'm in too high of a gear. So I grab that clutch in, and I pop down three times, and I gas it. And guess what? I didn't ease out. I popped it out. And boy, when I did, the front wheel come off the ground. I went up in the hill, and I went right through a barbed wire fence. And that barbed wire fence run, you remember this, Mama. You have to. There was blood everywhere. Oh, man, I was hurt. I had to go get stitches and I think two parts of my body. I'd hit that in the fence one. It picked me up and threw me down. The motorcycle went on through. I was left hanging like a cartoon character in it. Mama come over there and pull me all out of it. Give me, she said, "How bad is it?" I said, "It's pretty bad. I am covered right now." I said, "I need some help." She didn't say a word. She loaded me in the car and she took me to the emergency room. Man, she could have at every time could have said, "Michael J., I told you so. Michael J., I told you you shouldn't have been riding that motorcycle." I think she got onto me a little bit, but it wasn't that bad that it stuck out, if you know what I mean. It wasn't that bad of a getting onto her, but the point was she had my back. And when we look at Israel, when we look at Jeremiah 30, we're seeing that God has their back. And that he is right there with them the entire time. He's telling them, "I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm right here. You have messed up. But guess what? You're going to have to pay the price for the sins you have done." And he said, take your Bible real quick when you're holding it. Flip back to Jeremiah 17 is what I want you to do. Just a couple of pages. It ain't much. And I want to point you out something too real quick. And I want to see exactly how we're going to look at it. I'm going to start you off real quick with 16. And it's go to 16:19 is where I want you to be. And I want you to read right there with me. So we've seen exactly what happened. They said, "We've got it all figured out, God. We don't need you right here. We've got it." So look at what Jeremiah 16, halfway through 19 says. It says, Our ancestors possessed nothing but false God, worthless idols that did them no good. Do people make their own gods? Yes, but they are not gods. Therefore, I will teach them. This time I will teach them my power and my might, and they will know that my name is the Lord. He's getting ready for him. In 17:7, look at what he says right there. 17:7, I just moved over probably just a few verses. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Look at what he says. They will be planted like a tree. They will be planted like a tree by the water that sends its roots out into the stream for all the nourishment that it could ever want. And it does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. That is what Israel is dealing with. Israel has messed up beyond. And what God's telling them is that I've got you. I'm right here. I know you've messed up. You have done wrong, but I've got you. How many times has God done that to us too? Because we're imperfect people. Amen. We are. We mess up all the time, and that's exactly what we have to do. Look at this. This is going to be, point this out to you too. Look over one more page. Look at Jeremiah 18 and look at what it says. Look at Adam at the potter's house, and he says, 18:1 says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. I've actually had one of these potter's wheels before that I've actually attempted this. And the kicker is, you start off with a lump of clay. You do. That's just a ball, basically. And you can put water onto it, and you can soften it up, and you can start to spread and start to move. Man, we are so much just like that clay, it ain't even funny. Because there's times when God has to be hard with us, and he has to firm it, especially when he's starting us. But then there's times when he's bringing it up that he has to be real gentle. And has to be real careful with it. That's exactly how we are in his hands. That we're molded and we're made into exactly what he needs us to be for him. This is all about God's glory, right? That's exactly what it is. He says, then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, look at what 5 and 6 say right there in 18. He says, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord? That's a question with a question mark. Can I not do with you? Like the potter does with the clay? That's exactly, he's reminding them, he's telling them, you need to come back to me is what you need to do. We need to take that so that like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. Man, I wanted you to know that I serve a God that when I wake up in the morning and I have to go through there and I have to hit that trash can 25 times to get rid of the garbage. But that's how we get our day started. That's a lot like us when we walk through this door. That's a lot like us. We need to delete the things that might be bogging us down. We need to delete the things that might be distracting us. We need to always be just right there on top of it. So when you walk through the door, when you get ready for Sunday school, or whenever you come, if you just come to big church. Yeah, I said it, big church, because that's what I called it. When you come to big church or when you get ready to little church, clear your mind is what you need to do. I can't be more direct or more forward about that to just wipe away that focus on Christ. That's all I want you to do as you come through. We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen? Be ready when you come through the door. Just clear your minds. And be ready for what God has right in front of you. Because if you come in with all the distractions, if you come in with all the stuff that is blocking you, there's no way that you can see what God has in store for you. We're too busy looking at the distractions. If I kept all those emails, you know what would happen? They would keep building and building and building. By the end of the year, I'd have 10,000. That's 10,000 distractions. It's the same way with us. We've got to clear our minds. We've got to clear it every time we walk through the door. It's not, that's an everyday thing, man. That's something that happens because guess what? The emails keep coming. They're going to. They're auto-generated, Brother Alvin. They just keep flying in. They just keep distracting us is what they do. We need to make sure that we delete them. Delete those distractions and get rid of them. Look at what he says. Man, I done gotten warped up. He says, look at God's amazing grace. Look at Jeremiah 30. Flip back real quick, and I'm going to go back to my scripture. Look at Jeremiah 30 and 8 through 11. Look at what he says when God gives them the hope, man. He lays it right onto them. In 38, he says, in that day declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks, and I will tear off their bonds, and no longer will foreigners enslave them. He's building them up right now. He says, instead, they will serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So do not be afraid, Jacob my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and prosperity, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. He is going to take care of them because they are his people. When you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, are you his people? Amen, you are. That's exactly what you are. You're his people, just how they see. Now, look at what happens right over here, though, too. I want to point this out to you. I want two things I want to show you. I want to show you Jeremiah 17 that I've showed you, and I've showed you Jeremiah 18 on the potter's wheel. Those are very important scriptures to write down in your notes. Go back and look at this stuff. I can only hit on it for just a little bit, but he says in Proverbs 3:1, it opens up like this. It says, son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. And then we know we go into 5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, you submit to him. Lean not on your understanding, but lean on his. Lean on his because he has the better plan for each and every one of us when it comes to the distractions and getting in our way. That's exactly what Israel let happen, but God's bringing them out. Flip over real quick. Look at your chapter 31. Let's see what happens at the very end, and let's see what God does for them is what's so amazing. 31 through 35 right there says, picking up in 31 says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant. Though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor to say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Have you noticed that we serve such a loving God that he sent his one and only son to this earth for us? That he sent his one and only son to this earth for us. That's for me, that's for you, that's for everybody. We know that we all sit in here. We talk about clearing our minds and having our focus on Jesus Christ. That's exactly where we need to have it to be. But I'm going to be honest with you. We don't need to just have it when we walk through this door. You need to have it every day of your life. You always need to be ready for that. Get rid of those distractions in the morning because each and every one of us have them. It's funny how we serve such a loving, loving God. But let me ask you, Togville, is it time that we become the clay? Amen. Is it time that we let God mold and make us into what he wants us to be for him? Is it time that we take it? Because is it time we lay aside the distractions? Is it time we come together? Is it time that we say, God, your way, not ours, to just, Lord, lead us and guide us as your people, to help us be exactly who we need to be? We serve a loving God. Look at what, I'm going to finish this one right here in Philippians 2. It says, Philippians 2, 1 through 5. It was in your bulletin. You don't have to change. You can just listen. It's a popular, we've covered it before. He says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. 3 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but to the each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. How many distractions do we have to get rid of before we become the people God wants us to be? If you're that piece of mold, or the piece of clay, excuse me, not mold. If you're the piece of clay and God's working in your life right now, He's preparing you for something, right? He is. He's preparing you for something. Don't let that be a shock to you, because that's exactly what He's doing. Whether or not you feel led to join the church, whether or not you feel led to rededicate your life, whatever God may be doing. Emily is in college right now, 20 years old. She's got 1 year left, and she was like, this is so hard, you know, and I'm studying. Man, I remind her, God's got you. Just hang in there each and every one day at a time. One day at a time. That's all we have to worry about is one day. All we have to do is take the day that's right in front of us and handle it. Bring honor and glory to Him each and every way we can. And He's going to take care of us. A toggle, as we think about the clay and how He can mold us, and how sometimes He has to be firm, then other times He has to be real soft and delicate around the edges to mold us into exactly what He wants us to be. And it's exactly who God's called each of us to be. It's funny how we look at Jeremiah and we look at the young youth who thought, I don't have it all together, Lord. I need Your words. But you know what? I could take the oldest person in this room today and I could say, what exactly do you need for tomorrow? And each of them will tell you, I need Jesus. I definitely need Jesus. So no matter how we get to it, when we look at a new day as dawning, when we look at the routines, when we look at God's love, and we look how even those many years ago, how he took care, hope was being restored to the Israelites. And keep in mind, we serve a caring God. We serve a loving God. We serve a just God. But to remind us, each and every one of us, to have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. And when we come through the doors, when we come to serve, when we come here especially, try to clear your minds. Just try to focus on Christ. That's it. And it'll take each and every one of our walks with Him. It'll lift them up is what it'll do. Just clear our minds and focus on Jesus. Leslie picked probably the best closing hymn today. You took my bulletin.
No, it's underneath. It's in the book.
I have decided to follow Jesus. How many of us today might need to come back and say that we need to follow Jesus? That we need to get rid of all the distractions and we just need to follow Him. Let's close with a word of prayer. God, I just love You and I thank You, Lord, for this wonderful day that You have given us, dear Lord. And Father God, may everything we say and everything we do, Lord, bring You honor and bring You glory, God. Thank You, Lord, for molding us, God, and making us into exactly what You want us to be for You, Father. Please let each and every person know, God, that this goes way beyond just what we have. Lord, You are making us for something so big, God. And dear Lord, I pray, God, that You'll be with us, Father, that You'll keep our vision clear and keep us focused, Father God, right directly on You. Be with us, dear Lord, as we draw closer to You, Father God. Be with everyone we mentioned on our prayer list, Father. Be with us safely as You bring us back to the next appointed time, God. Lord, we love You and we thank You, and thank You, Father, for Your word and what it means to us. These things I ask in Your most precious and holy name. Amen.